I call your attention to this passage of God's Word that I have just read for you from the Gospel of John, chapter 1, a passage that I frequently called your attention to. Not too long ago, I called your attention to this similar, same passage. But it is time for us to be reminded once again of those who are meant to be dear to us, because brothers and sisters, as sinful people, we take things for granted and familiarity breeds contempt, and we often forget what is meant to be important to us. And so this evening, this very evening, I call your attention to the salvation of those who are near to you and the people who are related to you, and that you are to have a feeling for them and an interest in their spiritual salvation and good. Brothers and sisters, the 19th century, or the years 1800s, has often been referred to in our church history books as the golden century of Protestant missions. There was, you see, in that 100 years, a great interest in taking the gospel to other nations. And so you find Hudson Taylor making that long and difficult journey to China with the gospel, laboring to establish what it come to be known as the gospel missions to China, the China Inland Mission, or the OMF today. You find William Carey doing the same with great difficulties as he went to India for the glory of God and for the salvation of the Indian people. You see, brothers and sisters, in this 19th century focus on mission, it was actually the fruit of missionary organizations and society that sprung up all over Europe and North America in the 1800s. Their goals as a missionary society included raising funds, training missionaries, spreading the information, and inspiring others to serve in mission fields as missionaries. Well, brothers and sisters, at that time, many Protestant Christians thought they could just pray for the conversion of people in other lands and wait for God to produce it according to his purpose and power. Well, we refer to these people as the hyper-Calvinist, that they exalted, they think, they promoted the glory of God, they think, to such an extent that they deny human responsibility and duties to God. The sad thing, brothers and sisters, is this, that in our time today, we find the very spirit to have been resurrected in our churches. It was in the 19th century, but now in our 21st century, we find the same thing again being resurrected. Christians sitting down very contented. They say that they are devoted to pray for their loved ones and family members, those who are related to them in this lifetime, but they will do nothing. They will contribute nothing. In fact, they deny the responsibility of bringing the gospel to these very people who are meant to be closest to them in this time, in this lifetime. Christians need to be reminded again and again that God, the great God who calls us to our gospel duty, works through means, human means. God works through the sending of Christians to take the gospel to others. That was how, if you remember, that was how you became a Christian. That was how you entered the church for the first time. That was how you first heard the name Jesus. You find the early Christians sharing Christ with others as a natural response of conversion, of becoming spiritually alive, of being responding to the call of the Lord Jesus Christ to be his believers and followers. You find, brothers and sisters, that this is the mindset of human beings. You share good news and you share good deals when you come across them with your loved ones and friends. Do you not, if there is a great sale, send a WhatsApp or a message to your family members and those you love and care for and say, hey, look, there is a sale going on. I know you very much like this brand. Do you know the sale is on? You will tell your moms and dads closer to Chinese New Year of any sale of abalone, and you want to let them know that good, come and buy many cans because there is a sale going on. People will share with their friends and loved ones good news. When you do well, you have a promotion. When your children did well and get a good result and graduate, oh, who do you share the happiness with? You share the good news and the happiness with your loved ones and friends, people who are meant to be dear to you. That is what you find of Andrew. When Andrew found the Lord Jesus Christ, Andrew shared with his brother Simon Peter. That is what you are told here in John chapter 1. Look at verse 40 to verse 41. One of the two which heard John the Baptist speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first findeth his own brother Simon. He first findeth his own brother Simon. He didn't go and stand outside the MRT station or the bus terminal, brothers and sisters, and try to speak to non-Christians. I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, it is easier to give a tract to the neighborhood and knock on doors. It is harder to talk to your own brothers and sisters at home who knows you, your hypocrisy, your nonsense. And if your relationship is no good, and you try now that you are a Christian to talk to them, you're going to encounter a lot of difficulties. So it is with Andrew. There is no guarantee here, brothers and sisters, that he had a good relationship with Simon Peter. But nonetheless, Simon Peter was his own brother. And what kind of monster are you if you would rather speak to others but not your own brothers and sisters and mothers and fathers about Jesus Christ? People talk about being called by God to go to the center of Africa, to go to the northern part of Thailand, to be a missionary or go on mission trips. Oh, that's good, wonderful. But what about your own family members in Singapore? What have you done? In what manner have you reached out to them? That is of concern, brothers and sisters, because it is easier, isn't it, to go far, far away where nobody knows you. But it is going to take a challenge. You will have to change your behavior. You're going to change your heart. You're going to change your life. You're going to do something about your relationship with these people if they will listen to you. That is what you find of Philip. What did Philip do? Look at what we are told there in verse 45 to verse 46. Philip findeth Nathanael and said unto him, we have found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. And then Nathanael said unto him, can there any good thing come out of Nazareth? Philip saith unto him, come and see. He pleaded with Nathanael. He did not let Nathanael off. He did not give Nathanael the feeling, take it or lose it. Take it or give it away. Take it or just don't do anything. No, he was earnest. He shared with the intention that Nathanael will be converted. He shared with the earnestness. What about you when you tell your mom and your dad about Jesus Christ? Was it just to tell because the pastor say must tell? Because the Holy Spirit give you no peace. There is a conscience in every one of you. You know you must do something. And so you tell. But the way your spirit, your attitude, the way you share with your mama and dad, you might as well don't share. There is no earnestness. There is no commitment. There is no desire that next Sunday when you attend church, they will come along with you on their own accord. Oh, my beloved brothers and sisters, you can share. But how you share is as important as you sharing. Some people are sharing in such a way, you are actually telling those people, I share with you, but I hope you don't believe. Because you believe, please, don't embarrass me. You come to church and people will ask you about me. You know, when you tell people more things about me, I will be so embarrassed. So, you know, you did not say it. But it has never been your earnest desire that they will respond and come to your church. In fact, very much you don't want them to believe, especially if they have not been good brothers or sisters or mothers or fathers to you. Look carefully here, brothers and sisters. When Philip and Andrew believed, Andrew and Philip did not only pray silently for their loved ones. They did not wait for 1 year, 2 years, 3 years later. They did not wait until the relationship is better. They went back almost instantaneously and tell others the good news that they have become Christians. And they want very much that those they are sharing with to become Christians too. You find them, brothers and sisters, sharing the gospel face to face with those they were sharing the gospel with. Where do you get the idea, brothers and sisters, that others will come to know Christ without your active sharing with them face to face? Where do you get the idea from? That's exactly the mentality of the hyper-Calvinist. That was their mentality. Pray. And maybe leave a track or two on the road or in a taxi or on an MRT train, hoping that others will pick it up and read. Because you have heard preachers saying, you have read somewhere that some people get converted, and therefore you thought you are doing the work of evangelism by following their examples. I've told you before of the findings of Dr. Poboon Singh. I mentioned his name because it's a true incident. There was 1 year in Kuala Lumpur that his church organized a gospel rally. And for many weeks before that event, he organized the church, get the people to distribute tracts, invitations. And they go around the kampung. This village covered that village, covered all the villages and all the buildings around the church compound, all covered. On the day of the event, only one person turned up. And everybody was very keen to know who did she receive the invitation from. And she said, nobody gave me anything. And they were surprised. Who then brought you here? My brother. And who's your brother? Your church member. He invited me. And because he's my brother, he invited me. Therefore, I came. It is not going to be because you went to this HDB block and distribute tracts again and again every year. It's not going to be because I stood outside the MRT train. Brothers and sisters, to be honest with you, we are living in a generation, a time, in this point of history, where nobody is going to believe anything a stranger were to share because it can be scam. The gospel is not looked upon very kindly in this day and age. If you are going to reach the gospel, you have to reach those that you know and who knows you. And that will be your relatives, your friends, your colleagues, your schoolmates, your ex-classmates, your ex-schools, people who knows you. They may believe and accept your invitation. Just merely by sending out, putting a stamp, and like the estate agent, sending out posters, sending out invitation. They are not going to come anymore. Those period of time, that time of history is no more. You have so many people left to reach, brothers and sisters. Only those who know you will respond. What are you going to do about it? Are you going to build bridges? Are you going to play an active role as you learn here of the action of Andrew and Philip, that you will obediently obey God and do as you see them doing? Who tells them and who tells you that others will come to know Christ simply by looking at your good deeds. That's another area that a hyper-Calvinist sold to the people in the 18th century. Oh, people will look at your good deeds. You're helping in a charitable organization. The way you live your life, how good a husband and how good a wife, and simply by looking at your Christian lifestyle, they say, people will just suddenly say, I want to be a Christian. Brothers and sisters, that's not how it is. The Bible says that you have to live like a Christian. You must be Christianly in your relationship, in your behavior, in your conduct. You must be a Christian. But you must also have a gospel responsibility. Have you ever shared, let me ask you, have you ever shared Jesus Christ face to face with someone before? Have you ever made arrangement that you go lunch with a colleague or somebody you know, and while having lunch, introduce the subject of Christ? Have you, brothers and sisters, make an appointment at McDonald's or somewhere convenient where you can sit and where you are safe to share with someone? Have you ever started that? Of course, the first time, it will be tongue-tied. It will be difficult. You will be frightening. It's true. But as you go on with many experiences, brothers and sisters, things will become more experienced to you. You become more natural to you. And that's what you must seek to be. Look again, brothers and sisters, at what you are told there in verse 42. In John chapter 1, in verse 42, you read, and he, Andrew, brought him, Simon, to Jesus. He did not say, Simon, hey, let me tell you what happened. I met this man called Jesus. Ha, 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 ha. And we had a conversation, full stop. Hey, see you tomorrow. See you tonight for dinner. And that's it. What I want you to take note of is the word brought. And he, Andrew, brought him, Simon Peter, to Jesus. The word brought brings to your mind commitment, labor, action, inconveniences, and effort. He will have to tell Simon, how about coming with me? How about coming alongside? I will walk the walk with you. I will take the journey with you. I'll take the bus with you. I'll take the MRT with you. I will go with you. Many people think just share the gospel means just share. And then on Sunday you go to your church, I go to my church. No, you share the gospel and we go together to church. Look at verse 46. Philip to Nathanael. Philip said, come. Come and see. Again, the word come is important because the word come brings to mind effort again. Brings to mind responsibility. Brings to mind a commitment. Brings to mind a desire. People can see, people can feel, people know. You're serious, ah? Okay, you're serious. Yes, it is not something that I just talk and no action, brothers and sisters. You see, there is an appeal for a decision, appeal for a response. You do not only share the gospel message, you share and you call for a response, a reaction. You want the person you're sharing with to have a positive response to what you say. You want to look for a response. You care for the response. You do not say, oh, I shared the gospel. I now leave it to God. And if he's an elect, he's an elect. If he's not elect, what to do? That's not an attitude of Peter, of Andrew and Philip, to Peter and to Nathanael. And that is what we mean, brothers and sisters, by our gospel responsibility. And you find that the apostles of Jesus Christ, they gave us the same examples. If you turn to the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 2, of the Acts of the Apostles, verse 36, look at what he says. What he says about them. It tells us, the Holy Bible tells us there in chapter 2 and verse 36, therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus, whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. You do not find in these sentences, these words here, that have been spoken and uttered, a sense that it doesn't matter, your response is, it doesn't really matter. It does! The preacher was preaching with the intention of a positive response. The preacher was preaching and he wants to see the conversion of his hearers. Oh, my brothers and sisters, you do not go and have lunch with your friends and your colleagues so that you can have a hee-hee-ha-ha and that's it. You go there to see the spiritual good being accomplished. You want to save brothers, sisters, boys and girls, you want people to be saved. You want at the end of the day, when the earth is no more, when the day of judgment is upon us all, you want to see that the people you hold dear to yourself to be saved, to be on the safe side, to be on the side of God and not be in the side of the disobedience and with the devil. You want your friends to be saved. If you are a true friend, that's what you want. If you are a true sister, a true brother, if you are a true father, a true mother, that's what you desire. You want your loved ones to be saved. And the end purpose of evangelism and gospel responsibility is that they may be saved. That was the intention of Peter. If you look there in the Acts of the Apostles chapter 2, reading further on in verse 37 to verse 40, you can sense in his tone this concern and this desire to see the right response. He says, now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. Save. Beloved brothers and sisters, that is evangelism in one simple word. Save. You want to save. When you share with others, especially those who love you, and you want to love them back with the love of God, you want to save them. Now, it's difficult most of the time. People are going to judge you and misunderstand you. They may even scream at you and scold you for having become a Christian. But brothers and sisters, eventually, they will know your sincerity and your care for them if you really share with them truthfully and nicely and exhibit all the desire that is good and of Christ, that you care for their soul. Who doesn't respond to love, brothers and sisters? Who doesn't respond to love? In Acts chapter 16, you find the same thing of the Philippian jailer in verse 29 to verse 31. Then he, the Philippian jailer, called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And Paul and Silas said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house shall be saved. That's what the intention, that's the end result that Paul and Silas want to see. That's what they hope. It's not because by so doing, Paul and Silas will be rewarded richly by God, and they will have a bigger mansion in heaven, as people say, a heavier crown to wear on. No! Because they sincerely love people. They sincerely didn't want people to end up in a place of suffering and hell. Beloved brothers and sisters, do you not care? I told you before, and it's a true story, I must emphasize again, of this engineer from Penang. I want to remind you of him, because in this story, in this person who happens to worship in one of the churches we know, of a care and concern for his parents, increasingly from the preaching he heard Sunday after Sunday, he was increasing in his burden, in his desire and concern for his aged mother and father back so far north in Penang. And after a very especially stirring sermon on Sunday, he told himself when he got home that Sunday night that he cannot do nothing. The next morning, he called up the office and was on emergency leave. A lot of his colleagues thought that somebody died, but no, he was driving from Jurong East, and he was driving all the way back because it was last minute, so he couldn't get an airline ticket, and he couldn't get on a train, and he was just rushing up north. When he entered the house, the mother and the father got a shock of their life, thinking that something bad happened to the son. Son, you have cancer, is it? You have cancer. Are you sick? You retrenched, is it, son? And with tears rolling down his cheek and with his eyes swollen, he told the mom and dad that he had been struggling with their salvation. He saw them in his dream. At night when he sleep, he dreamt that they went to hell and they were burned by the fire of hell, and that they were screaming in agony and in hopelessness. And he told the mom and dad, I cannot take it anymore. I cannot take it. Mom, dad, you must believe. I want you to believe. You must believe in Jesus Christ. If not, I cannot go back to Singapore and leave you in such a state. And it was the father who told him, he said, son, if my soul and the soul of your mother, we are so precious to you that you are willing to drive all the way up, and you said all the things you said, I will be a Christian. I will follow your Jesus. And your mom will follow too. Who will deny love? But how many of you ever drove to Penang that way to meet your parents, if your parents are in Penang? How many of you make a special trip to the HDB flat your parents are staying in, and then your parents not expecting you, and suddenly you appeared? Huh? What happened? You got cancer, is it? No. Pa, Ma, please sit down. I have something very important to tell you. I'm burdened. And I care for your salvation. Have you ever led someone to Christ, brothers and sisters, in all your Christian life? You talk about superlapsarian, you talk about infralapsarian, you talk about all the gigantic words in theology and doctrine. You say you like William Perkins, and others say Richard Sipps, and so what? If you have never spoken to somebody about Jesus Christ, you are a hypocrite. Because God is not going to ask you which Puritans did you read and what doctrines do you understand. Most likely he's going to ask you, who have you spoken to? Have you ever told somebody about Jesus face to face, brothers and sisters, with earnestness as I have described to you? Oh, my beloved brothers and sisters, my purpose here is not to make you miserable as you leave the church. What do I gain? My purpose here is this: that you may be involved in the salvation of your loved ones and friends. Because we do not know when the day of judgment is coming, whether there will be a tomorrow, we don't know. But we do know that it is our gospel responsibility to reach out to them. In the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 8 and verse 4, let me remind you of the action taken by the persecuted Christians when they scattered from Jerusalem. In Acts chapter 8 and verse 4, you read, therefore, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. Yes, they were running for their life. Yeah, people were after their life. Yeah, they lost everything. They lost their home, they lost their bank account, and some of them even lost their babies, their children, maybe their own father, mother, their husband and wife may be killed. And they found themselves, they are the only one alive with the clothes on their back, and they have nowhere to go because they do not know the city in front of them that they are fleeing to will be friendly towards them. And what happened? If it is to happen to any one of us here in Singapore, I tell you what will happen. We will be so depressed. We will be so what? In fact, we have already decided as we flee, I will not be a Christian. I will compromise. I will do what they want me to do, and I will want to gain back everything else that I have lost. Isn't it? You are so unlike the Christians here. Brothers and sisters, the world has made you soft. Instead, you are told here that they went everywhere preaching the word. Why did they do that? Because they count their own life as nothing. They know that this world will end one day. So what if they lost everything? But they would rather that they will grab people who will join them and they will have a better world in the new heaven and the new earth that God is preparing for them. And I hope that our mentality and our attitude is the same here this evening as we meet for the close of the Sabbath. You are not to wait for God to send supernaturally people to your church. You are not to wait patiently and doing nothing for God to save your parents and your brothers and sisters. No. No, no, no. You be like Andrew and Philip, you will actively be involved in sharing the gospel. You are to start sharing the gospel with them and invite them to attend worship service with you and engaging in special spiritual conversation with you, that you will take leave. Yeah, I know you are planning to go to Japan and Korea for your holiday. You got so few, 14 days. Most people, so precious your leave. But is the salvation of your mom and dad not precious enough in comparison with your holiday? You'd rather that they go risk the opportunity of heaven and go to hell? Can you not spare one day in 1 year to minister to them the gospel, brothers and sisters, in one of their lifetime? You have never done it before. Do they not mean anything to you? Is Japan and Korea more precious to you than their souls? You have to think about this, brothers and sisters, as you think of the coming school holiday in June. Will you follow the example of Andrew and Philip? Look at what you are told here, finally, brothers and sisters. You find the Apostle Paul, and you find the other apostles of the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, you find the early Christians. When they engage in sharing the gospel with others, they are actually engaging the minds of the hearers. If you turn with me now to the Acts of the Apostles again and look at what you are told there in verse 17. It says there in verse 17, verse 2 to verse 3, "And Paul, as his manner was, went in unto them, and 3 Sabbath days reasoned with them out of the scriptures, opening and alleging that Christ must needs have suffered and risen again from the dead, and that this Jesus, whom I preach unto you, is Christ." You find Philip, you find Andrew doing the same. They did not just share the gospel. No, they intelligently engaged the minds of the hearers of Simon Peter and of Nathanael. That is why Nathanael can say, "Is there anything good that can come out of Nazareth?" It's an intelligent question. It is a response of thinking, intellect, thinking. He knew what is Nazareth, and he has not heard anything about Nazareth. When Philip said to him, "Come and see," it was an invitation to think, to search. It is not blind faith. When I was the pastor of the old church, and there was one occasion when it was a so-called children's presentation, children choir presentation. So a group of young little children, they were all trained for a few Sundays. And then that Sunday, they will all come to the front And then they will all sit around and they will start to sing a song as an item which we do not practice and we do not wish to see. But that was the old church. That's what happened. And they started to see trust and obey. Instead, the young children could not differentiate obey with okay. And so they were loudly screaming, trust and okay, there's no other way, trust and okay. And I thought to myself, brothers and sisters, that the children are wiser than the adult. It is true. Trust, and you'll be okay with God. Look at what you are told there in Acts 17 and verse 17. Therefore disputed he in the synagogue with the Jews. Again, I want to emphasize this, which I've emphasized before in previous time I'm with you. The involvement of the mind. Conversion is not an emotional response. Conversion is as much an intellectual understanding. The gospel is not for the heart. The gospel is also firstly for the mind. Realize that the most important organ in your whole being and body is the mind. And where did God position the mind? Not at the bottom with your stomach, but at the top to tell you the mind is all important. It is the CPU. It is the thinking organ. And God wants you to know that, brothers and sisters, by its position in the human body. Paul was engaging the minds of his hearers, and he was engaging them, disputing with them, and he was deliberating with them. He was going after their mind and understanding, that the mind and understanding may produce the right response, the emotional response of the heart, by the power of the Holy Spirit. Have you ever, brothers and sisters, a good discussion with your loved ones and friends about Jesus Christ? Have you ever had a conversation with someone about Christ and his claims to be the Son of God, to be the very God of very God? Have you ever, brothers and sisters, be engaged about the things that is taught in the Bible? Lately, in fact, in the last few years, more and more people are very interested as to why you Christians are not for gay marriage. Are you able to engage their minds and tell them what is God's original design and purpose for marriage? As you find divorce increasing in the world, are you able to engage people and show them why divorce is not a Christian practice? Oh, beloved brothers and sisters, are you able to engage people's mind and show them that they are not able to save themselves? They can never be good enough. And that only Christ can be the true Lord and Savior of everybody who are in this world. Many have come to think that their responsibility, gospel-wise, is only to pray for their loved ones and friends. They are to show love, they think, and to show kindness in their relationship with others, and they think that is good enough. That's all pleasing to God. Yes, these are all pleasing to God, and we must, but it's not the gospel responsibility that we are talking about. In fact, brothers and sisters, whenever there is a call from MERF, the Middle East Reformed Fellowship, for money, it is quite easy to inform Christians and get a large collection from the Christians in the church. People are generally willing to give money to support missionaries and missionary efforts in the around the world, especially in difficult places. That's good. It's good, brothers and sisters, to do all these things. But brothers and sisters, it shouldn't be a responsibility as a substitute. It shouldn't be for you to quench your conscience. Oh, I've given money to mission, and therefore God will understand if I have never met somebody face to face to share the gospel with them. That is never a substitute. You cannot buy yourself out of your gospel duty with money. There is an absence of personal involvement in the work of evangelism today. There is a lack of boldness and dedication in sharing the gospel with people. There is a fear of persecution, of punishment. You're afraid that people will cancel you. When I first heard this term, I said, what do you mean by cancel? Well, we are living in a generation where people just cancel you. And then we are afraid to be one of the victims of being cancelled in social media and in this world. Let me ask you, brothers and sisters, as we come to close, will you take the example of the early Christian who boldly and bravely preached the Lord Jesus Christ even when they were in a scattered state? Will you be like Hudson Taylor and William Carey? Will you be like those Christians who live in the 19th century or in the 1800s who love to bring the gospel to others? Will you? Think of your mom and dad, brothers and sisters, your uncles and aunties, your nieces and nephews. Will you think about that person who is your colleagues, whom you have been working together with for all these months and years? Will you not open your mouth and say something about Jesus to them to cause them to ask you further questions? Will you, brothers and sisters, tell others about Christ?